It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as Talking Shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mike, Camera, Action.
Debbie Derryberry is one of Hollywood's top female animation voiceover talents and fabulous partner to Law Lapidus Company. She's best known as Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, Speedy the Alka-Seltzer Guy, oh, and Wednesday Addams from The Addams Family, along with Draculaura from Monsters High. She's currently working on Netflix's F is for Family as Maureen Murphy. And some of her feature films include Wreck-It Ralph, The Lorax, Ice Age 2, Toy Story, A Bug's Life. It goes on and on.
Thank you. Thank you, Law and Dan. Lovely to be here today.
Awesome. And you have your beautiful dog Kiwi with you in the house too, right?
Yes, I've got Kiwi and Mango are both here behind me on the sofa.
Okay. That's good. Have them chime in at any time.
Yeah, that dogged support will help.
Well, you know, Debbie, let's get to it. I know what our folks are going to be listening for right up front, and that is a little bit about, you know, your background and how you got to be where you are today, which was, you know, quite a long, oh, hi, precious. Oh, is that Mango?
This is Mango.
Oh, Mango. And what kind of a dog is Mango?
A rescue, a Lhasa poodle, beach surfer dude.
Wow.
He just likes to be on the beach and party and surf.
Sweetheart.
I want to be that dog.
It's good to have some fur therapy in the house there. Little baby dogs right there.
Dogs have their voices, and his is, dude, it's good on. It's good on. It's all good. All right. So, yes. How did I get her done with the voiceover thing in my career and my life?
Yes. A simple question.
That's right. Didn't it start at 9 years old with a guitar? Or was it before
did.
That?
Well, I think if they were applauding as I exited the womb, I would have been happy. Anything. So I always been very, I don't know, a little OCD and musical. And have been writing songs and singing and doing harmonies and creating harmonies and teaching people harmonies forever, and thinking that I should be a doctor because Dad said so and I could make a living and be an actor because you can't make a living as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
My brother pursued acting. And
But you studied pre-med, right?
I did. I was a pre-med at UCLA and graduated, and in the normal scope of things, when people graduate pre-med, you move to Nashville to pursue country music.
Of course.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
what
that
else?
That sounds like a normal journey.
I became a session singer in Nashville, and my gigs were singing as a child voice. And then it kind of segued into doing stand-in work for 12-year-old boys, because you can hear me, but you can't see me. I'm a 4'10 and a half. I'm about 95 pounds. I'm like the size of a 12-year-old boy. And so my head's tiny. My body's tiny. I just am like a little boy. So I did stand-in work for little boys on camera, and I played elves on TV and kids for my voice. And I did Scout as Kill a Mockingbird at regional theater there. Somebody saw me, put me in a TV series as a boy clown, got into Screen Actors Guild, back and forth with casting directors, moved to LA, bit Debbie. So I came back home, signed with ICM, and started booking cartoons 2 weeks later, and that was 30 years ago.
Now, was that the goal, or were you more comfortable, or was your dream just to be in front of the camera rather than the voice of the characters that we see?
My dream was to be a singer. I just wanted to be a singer all the time. And I do enjoy being on stage. I enjoy being in front of the camera. I didn't know that there was a job for cartoon voices. I just assumed the cartoon characters were drawn and had voices just there I didn't put two and two together.
Oh, that's not how it is. I thought that's how it is. That these cartoons just, they're born with those voices. Right.
Debbie, how did you take that moment, though? Because that's very interesting. I'm not sure I knew that about you, that I knew you wanted to be a singer. But how did you take that moment where you started seeing your success, you know, being driven in the direction of voiceover? Was that an easy transition for you? Were you disappointed? I mean, how did you feel about that? Did you just go with the flow?
It wasn't a moment, it was a gradual, and I never stopped doing the music. When I moved back to Los Angeles, I, you know, kept singing, and I formed a band, a country band, like a Dixie Chick three-part harmony country band, and we were, you know, the top country bands in Los Angeles for like 7 years. And then it was still not making, it was costing money because it's difficult to make a living as a musician. The cartoons were doing really well, so that was my income, was voiceover, and then my, you know, spend money on and have fun was the band. And then after my son was born and he said, I realized that, you know, 9 p.m. was way too late.
Right.
preschool music, and I started recording my preschool music, and then a couple of my songs, or many of them, did very well. One of them charted number one, Baby Banana on XM Sirius. So I toured the United States doing my preschool music. And it was, you know, the same fun, satisfaction, wonderful stuff. My musicians were top-notch musicians. Like, I had Bob Dylan's drummer and Dwight Yoakam's guitar player.
Wow, impressive.
That's amazing.
Yeah, really great musicians doing preschool music. And then when my kid got to be 8 or 9, he said, Mom, why do you sing to babies? I'm like, well, right? Let's switch gears again.
Right.
And I hung up the preschool music, and now I'm back to grown-up music. But it's just for fun. So it wasn't an aha moment, Law. It was gradual. I have always kind of reinvented and do what I need to do to, you know, pay the rent, to make the connections I need to make, and to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Realistic about what I have that will sell.
Right. Well, what you have is this incredible voice, and I'm wondering, you told us the Reader's Digest version of how you went from just a child to doing all these great things that you're doing now, but breaking into voiceover, I mean, what was that first step? You signed with someone, but how did you get that first gig, voiceover gig?
My Nashville agent said, Debbie, why don't we make a demo? I'll pay for it. Just go into the studio, and here's a few pieces of copy. So she gave me some Friskies piece. All you have to do is shake the box and make them running. A couple little spots, and I recorded them. And so I had a little demo. And so when this, one of the mothers of the kids on the set, for whom I was standing in the forest on Ernest Goes to Camp, said, Debbie, why don't you think about cartoon voices? Here's three names in Los Angeles you could contact. So I had my... back then, the electric typewriter, that it was amazing because you could backspace over your mistakes instead of
out on the right, computer. Right.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
I wrote individual letters to these people on the set. And of course, there's, you know, backing up, there's this drive that you have to succeed, whatever it is. And I was looking for open doors, looking for doors that would open for me. So I wrote these three individual letters, and I sent them cassette tapes with my letter.
Gosh, cassette. Did she say the word cassette?
Cassette tape. For those of you who don't know what that is, Google it. It's a little plastic case with little tape inside of it, and it catches your voices.
And it goes round and round.
That's right. And so every so often it gets stuck, and you have to stick in there with a pencil and straighten it up. Anyway, we digress.
But they, you know, these casting directors actually took it out of the little case and put it in their player and listened to it and responded to me in a letter or a phone call that said, yes, you have a nice little voice and a nice little demo. Unfortunately, animation's done here in Los Angeles. And I was in the midst of a divorce and realizing country music wasn't flying. So I said, okay, I'll move back home. And one of them said, you know, when you get here, let me know. And I got home and I let her know. And she called ICM, and I walked in, and I sat and talked, and he signed me.
Wow.
And then he started sending me, not sending me auditions, having me in. That was before the days of home studios, when we would drive into the agency and audition there. And all of the stuff I had trained for all my life, the onstage training, the acting training, the singing, the microphone, all of that came together with voice work. And when I started booking, I was green, but people in the voice business have always been so giving and wonderful. And, you know, if they threw me a bait one time in session, they were like, okay, there's a baby cry right now, Debbie, can you just do the baby cry? And like, I'm deer in the headlights. What?
Now, Debbie.
Morning showed me how. He's like, this is the baby cry. And he showed me, and then I was the baby cry. And I just put that in my wheelhouse. And wow. So it, now, that's how it was. Everybody's path is different, and that was my path.
Debbie, you have such a rich history of so many sounds and so many characters through the years. It's kind of mind-boggling. Do you have any favorites? Do you have any ones that speak to you, not just in having fun, which I know you have a ball with everything you do. You just live and love right through it. But is there anything that really, you know, speaks to who you are, or you're just your favorite for some reason?
There are a few favorites. I don't know. They all serve a purpose at different times. You know,
like when you're angry, you pull one out, right? Or
right. There's the one that nobody likes around my house when mommy gets real and mean. You know, get up, come on. It's not pretty, and they're like, that's really an ugly voice. And I really never use that except for when he won't get out of bed and get to school. The other fun ones for me are, you know, my just standard 8-year-old girl, easy to get to. Just this is where my voice lived my whole life, right here. I never could get down here. It was after a lot of training that I came down and explored this part of the vocal cord stretch. So this is where it's really comfortable, and this is where my go-to is. But in the last few years, you know, I've always wanted to do the granny voice, but it takes, I guess, a certain sort of attitude adjustment and confidence, and it takes having been through chapters in your life. Like, I couldn't play a mom before I was a mom. I tried, but I didn't hit home.
Yeah,
right.
Feel it.
You needed that personal experience, right, to bring to the sound.
I'm not a grandma yet, but I don't know. It feels a little more authentic coming now for me. So when I put the... I did one last month that was a Hoyan. Oh, yeah, she was more Midwestern. That's what she was, for corn steaks. That one. And it was just so much fun to land that one and feel like I could really be in it and be believable and committed to it.
Wow.
The little boy voices are super easy for me to get into. It's sort of the schizophrenic multi-personality mindset where you just jump into it. You're like, oh, I know what it feels like to be a little boy. I can do it just like you can. Whereas an old lady might not feel that way.
And what about your current characters that you're doing now? Tell us a little bit about F is for Family and how that's going. Wonderful show. Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you. Have you guys watched it yet?
I have, because my kids watch it. They love it.
Now they're adult or grown, right?
Well, they're teenagers. So, you know, teenagers, they're like going on 40. You know what I mean? So they're 13 and 14 going on 40.
Yeah, I think 13 is pushing it a little bit. It's very...
Well, you met my daughter. You know that...
their mom is, right?
Right, right.
It's super fun. It's raunchy. It's vulgar. It's... set in the 70s, it's a family, with all age kids in the 70s. So there's an episode where they just get an answering machine, and it's a big deal, you know, like they're still on cassette tape kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in, you know, anywhere in the grown up age category, you remember what it's like growing up in the 70s. And I play the daughter. And when I booked it, I was booked as the contract player for the daughter, which is like the Lisa Simpson of the show. And then there's a couple other characters that have kind of developed in our second season that will air in the spring. and we've recorded 10 episodes for that. But I play Bill, who's like the Bart Simpson, Bill Burr as a kid. I play his best friend named Philip, who has braces and he has a few issues. He's not what you think he might be, but he's very innocent and he has a dark side. And then there,
love it.
Sort of a diaper wearing, very poverty stricken kid who is tonight's kid. And it's very wrong. He does things like his mama's going to the, what do they call it? They're going to the adult zoo, the grown-up zoo. His mama got the men in the uniforms took mama to the grown-up zoo.
Wow,
it's a very fun. Brandon, my assistant Brandon. I don't know if you met Debbie. Oh yeah, you guys met last year, right?
Yeah.
When Debbie was in our studio doing wonderful training for us, Brandon is like chuckling right now. I think he knows the show all too well. FS for Family. Yeah, they're both waving at each other. The good times, good times. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up one of my favorite characters. If you would indulge me for a moment, and that is.
Jimmy Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron,
yeah.
Right? Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, so, yeah, Jimmy Neutron. Oh, yeah. Listen, so me and my buddies are going to go over to the candy bar in my hovercraft. Goddard, don't be pooping the aluminum cans. Coming, Mom. I blast.
Yeah. My daughter will like that. But I will tell my daughter that we interviewed you today, and she will just flip.
That made my day, Debbie. Made my day. Now, wrote a book, right? You just wrote a book. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Share some highlights.
And then I'm going to digress and share with you two other characters that I'm doing right now that are super fun.
Oh, great.
Please.
Wow, that's the bonus.
Just so you guys can see it, it's called VoiceOver 101, How to Succeed as a Voice Actor.
Wow.
So that's super cute cover.
So if I read that, can I succeed as a voiceover actor?
You know, you have to have the drive and you really have to... focus. It's a lot of work, Dan. I don't know. It's a lot of work.
Dan doesn't know about hard work. No, He's never made it.
I like the fact that's a good segue because you talked about how it's hard sometimes to play that role if you haven't experienced it. But you are a pro and you even indicated how some things just come naturally to you. But are you working on this craft every day? And I'm sure you point that out in your book, but is it something that you wake up and you do voice exercises or you start working on certain characters every day until you get it? How much homework are you still doing at this stage of your career?
I actually still work it. Last week, I took a workshop with a video game casting director. I still study. In fact, when I'm done here, I'm off to the SAG building. I'm taking a sight singing class. So I still study. It's never done, as you know. There's always more to learn, and there's ups and downs with the mindset of the business and being an actor. There's the ups and downs of the emotional roller coaster it puts you on. So you have to be able to step away from that, and now you become your own technician, your own engineer, your own media publicist. There's so much, so I'm always learning, always in it. In fact, I'm just segueing into the new iPad now will allow me to split screen, have digital copy on one side that I can use an Apple Pencil to highlight, so save on paper, and on the other side I can run my software program to record it. So constantly learning, and in my book, I'm going to just put my book up to the camera, you can see I'm doing QR codes.
Yeah, I'll describe that. Yeah, people were looking at a barcode at the bottom of a page. Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to describe how to bark like a dog with words. So although I try with words, you can click over to a video. And if you have an ebook, you know, it's just a simple click over to the site. But if you have a paperback book, you just QR reader code on your smartphone and put in the password and then you go to the video. So you kind of get the best of both in either book, but it's nice to be able to have a video on it. You know, you're imagining, what? Why do that?
Right. Yeah. So you basically are offering all you need to know if you're interested in this industry or you're in the industry and you want to move to the next level. I guess this is the book that can get you there.
That's amazing. I love it.
And like what you guys were talking about before, that it's not just the voice talent. It's how holding people's hand through the business, through the different facets of it, because there's so much more to it than here's the different places you can put your voice. Here's the different ways you can make a sound. There's so much more, right? Like even writing a simple email to someone, even what you wear to a session, or how you connect with people on social media. It's so much more than just how to make the voice.
Wow. Well, as we wind down our podcast, I did want you to go ahead and do those two voices.
We can go on forever. We also have a question from Brandon. Can we slide Brandon in here?
Let me get in her those two voices. You said you had two other voices you wanted to introduce us to, and then we'll have Brandon. He's going to have a question as well.
Dan, how old's your daughter?
She is 12.
Okay, so she's probably just coming out of, I don't know if she knows Monster High.
I'm sure she knows everything. Yeah, she.
But it's, I play Draculaura. She's a 1,600-year-old vampire at Monster High School. And she's like the lead of the Monster High dolls. And that's been a great run. And we're still at it, getting ready for the 2017 movie. So Draculaura on Monster High is a big one. And then what I'm also really excited about is the voice of the game that comes bundled with the new virtual reality game platform called Oculus Rift. It's the thing that you put on your head and you're in the game 360.
I've heard about
right the new thing.
Mario came bundled with your Xbox or Wii, whatever it was.
Right.
Well, Lucky's Tale is the one that comes bundled with Oculus Rift, which is the next thing, and I'm the voice of Lucky.
Wow.
So that's nice. A big deal for me, and I couldn't be happier. My career has been fabulous. I love LA. I love voiceover. I love that you guys would want to even call me and give a patootie about what I have to say.
You're a rock star.
Debbie, you're an absolute rock star to us. And, you know, Brandon wants to ask you a question. I have to get him here.
Brandon, get in here. Come on. Slide on.
We're trying. We're
one headset short. So,
yeah, so
the other
kind
one,
of
yeah.
Passing
so.
Stuff around. I have my own microphone, but I didn't have a headset. So you can hear me, right?
I can, but I can't see your mug. Lean in just a smidge there.
Well, I might. Well, just,
here we go.
We'll turn the camera.
There you are. Hi.
Hi. So I remember when you guys came back in November, you were talking about how both you and EG were talking about how you continue coaching even as a high level voiceover talent, you still coach. And now with this book, you are basically becoming a coach in a sense, right?
You know, I don't know how it thank you for asking. I don't know how it segued into being a voice coach, but I am so busy coaching. I have to schedule in my students now around my sessions, and I was voted last year best voiceover coach in Los Angeles.
Wow.
I'm one of very few of us who actually coach animation, but I also coach commercials. I have Skype students all over the United States that Skype in privately. I teach an advanced animation workshop here at my studio, and I have a beginning workshop. I'm teaching in Texas, in Austin, Texas, at Carol Hickey's studio. There's a few more spots on that if anyone's in Austin, Texas. In October, I teach a group in Atlanta. I don't know really how it happened, but I am coaching like crazy. And I'm not like the sweetest coach in the world. I don't let people get away with anything.
No, I remember, even though I wasn't participating, I remember seeing you do your work with our clients. And you laid down the law quite often.
Some people wasting their time, you know, right. If they're going to be heading down the wrong path, I want to snatch them out right away and set them straight right away.
And you talked about your studio. So for people who may not know how this works, back in the day, as you pointed out earlier, you used to go into studios in order to record. Is everything done from your home or a studio that's your office away from your home?
It's mixed. If I have a small class or some privates, sometimes I do it here at my home studio. I often go to larger studios because I live in North Hollywood. And I'd say 90% of the animation studios are here in the North Hollywood area. So it's a combination of both. But for, like I have a Mattel job coming up in the next few days. And it was just a toss-up whether the director's going to come to my house because she lives around the corner and record here, or whether we're going to go into a nearby studio. Right. It's so easy, isn't it, making a home studio now?
Technology, the price of everything has dropped. Technology allows you to pretty much do anything from anywhere and send in a copy that is as good as anything that you could have done in person in studio.
To be able to work from home is just incredible.
Can you see my booth?
Yeah,
we're looking at Debbie's booth right now in her home.
Now, is that a bathroom or a pantry? What did you turn into your studio?
I think I see some Oreo cookies in there.
Corner of my room, actually.
Very nice.
And because I have so many tall students, I have this really music stage of 6 feet. I have LED lights and I have these curtains that are amazing. And I have carpet on the floor and foam on the ceiling.
Beautiful. And then, it's a real booth.
It's a real booth. And it's easy. And I tell people when they're first making their booth not to, you know, blow it out all at once. Just get what you need. Like when I travel, I have a porta booth, I have an iPad, I have an Apogee USB mic, and it creates great audition files.
Right.
And anyone can create the booth. It's, but what I want to say to anyone listening is this little word right here, how to succeed as a voice actor. Acting job. Mm-hmm. It is an acting job. Not to be confused with just talking or just reading.
Thank you. I have to give you a huge kiss and thank you for
thank
that
you.
Because
that's an
you
applause.
Know what
this
it is,
great.
Debbie? So many of our clients really don't believe us when we say, you're actors, you're acting, because you may not look or feel or sound like you would in your kitchen on a daily basis. You are creating a separate entity, a character, a persona, if you will. So thank you for saying that.
And it's a big inspiration for me because, as I pointed out, I've been in the news business since I was 16 years old. And now I'm getting a chance to just try some things, different things. And one of them is voiceover work. I recently signed with an agent and I'm nowhere near ready for prime time, but it's something I've always been interested in. And I realize now that even though I've been on camera and, you know, behind a microphone for much of my life, it's completely different. I can do that, but I can't just say, oh, I can do voiceover work. I mean, I can do my voice and I've done some of that, but it's a real craft. It's a skill. It is acting, and I don't know how to do that. So I'm in the learning process right now.
I think you probably have learned through the School of Hard Knocks and are being very humble.
I have been humbled. Yes.
That's true. Debbie, what would you say to folks, for instance, on the East Coast, who might want to come out to the West Coast and really seriously pursue animation? We have a lot of clients here and really all over the place that seriously would love to pursue it, don't know where to go for that or what the next steps would be. What do you suggest for people who say, I'm serious, I can do it, I'm ready to be committed, what should I do?
Firstly, buy my book.
That's a given.
You're a good publicist too.
Depending on where they are, if they're really interested in doing Western where you do the voice and then they color it like a Nickelodeon show or something like that, you need to be in Los Angeles. You just do. Mm-hmm. If it's just if you want to do video games or anime where it's dubbing, that can be done in Atlanta is a huge city for video games. Austin is. It's a little bit of a different craft, although you still get voice acting out of it. Toronto has a lot of opportunities for animation voice acting. There is also, if you're just starting out, the pay-to-play companies like Voices.com, Voice123. These companies, you pay your $300, $400 a year. They send you auditions all day, every day, and you record them from home. And you kind of get an idea of what people will buy from you. Mm-hmm. Are you only booking the narration? Are you always booking the video games? Are you booking the characters? Are you booking the Kmart ads, the moms, the grandmas? And then that gives you an idea of where you want to focus your energy, because that's the part of you they're going to buy. So when you say, Dan, that you just do that one voice, that's not, you can't speak too lightly of that. That is what you do, and you do it so well. People can try. I have a student that wants to sound like you so badly, and he gets pieces of copy, and he's like, I can be a newscaster, and this is me talking like a newscaster. And he's right. talking like a newscaster, but he's not one, you
right,
know?
Right.
So the fact that you can do that just so well as who you are is a pigeonhole that you should embrace.
Wow. Mm. Do I have to pay for that advice? Because that's pretty good advice.
Wow. That blew me away.
Like,
right
yeah,
there.
It blew me away. I feel like I have to send a check.
But we do have to get that book. Tell us again the title of the book, Debbie.
Voiceover 101, How to Succeed as a Voice Actor. And it is available Samuel French, Amazon, Create a Space, or you can email me directly at info@debbiederryberry.com. If you want an autographed copy, I will mail it to you. You can see on my website, debbiederryberry.com, how to order it, and it's spelled DebiDerryBerry.
Wow.
Cool. And what this projects are we looking for coming up from you? What's up next?
We are looking for F is for Family, Monster High. We're listening to my gardener outside the window.
Oh, I was wondering what that noise is. That part of is that a new role, the gardener role, and you're practicing now?
That's right.
She's not in the booth.
Mi jardinero está fuera ahorita. So you're looking for a Lucky on Lucky's Tale in addition to those. Life is good, and I wish everybody the most success that they can get. It's so much fun, but you better love it, because it's a lot of work.
Thank you so much. This was great. I enjoyed this,
an
and I'm
honor.
Sure our listeners will enjoy this
Thank
as well.
You.
As always, an honor to have you, my love. Thank you for joining us so very much, and we're going to follow you and keep in touch and get those books, and we'll see you real soon.
Okay, and follow me on Twitter, please, because now I'm verified at Debbie Derryberry.
I'm going to follow you as soon as we get off the air here.
Okay, my fine friends, have a beautiful day.
Okay, you too.
Bye, Debbie.
Bye, Debbie.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?